Welcome to Focus on the Community on WAMW. I'm Andy Morrison. Each week, we focus on a topic important to our community. Focus on the Community this weekend is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington. And happy to have in the studio this morning, Ms. Tara Brower, the funding chairperson for the Daviess County 4-H Master Building Plan. Good morning, Tara.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Thank you very much for coming in. And we are going to be talking about 4-H, and especially we are going to get into the just the really huge project that the Daviess County 4-H clubs have put together and are working towards. So we're going to get to that. But first, let's start with you. I know just from knowing you that you are a former 10-year member of 4-H. So kind of tell me, how did you get involved in 4-H?
Absolutely. I got involved because this was a passion of my mother's, and she was born and raised in Knox County and grew up on a family hog farm, and they had both a grain and livestock operation, so her siblings were involved in it. And when my parents moved to Daviess County and I was raised here, that was something that they thought was important, and I grew up loving it and made some of my best memories in 4-H.
So when you were in 4-H, what were some of the projects that that you took to 4-H over your 10-year career?
I took several indoor projects. I did sewing, I did a different baking projects, but then I also did sheep and swine, both as my livestock projects, which was an interesting concept because I did not grow up a farm girl. I grew up on Sugarland Road, and so we said we were the Sugarland Road farmers.
There you go.
Out there with swine and sheep.
Well, see, I'm also a former 4-H member from Greene County. I didn't do it the full 10 years. I think I did it probably three or four, and then cars and girls and everything got in the way, and then 4-H went away. But I did photography for a couple of years, and then at that point, I don't know if they still have it or not, they had the where you could build the model kit cars, and we did. I did those for a couple of years as well. So
I think it's wonderful. I think there's a project for everyone.
Yeah,
you can do farm scenery and build it on a board. You can do, like you mentioned, photography and other indoor projects. So you don't have to do livestock. There's a project for everybody.
The one I really wanted to do, I never got to, was the electricity one, where you make the switches and make lamps and do all kinds of stuff. I never could talk my mother into letting me start.
They still do that.
I know. I still see them. So pretty neat stuff. Well, now you have got kids involved in 4-H. What are they taking to 4-H?
So I have one of my sons that's in regular 4-H and another one in mini 4-H, and they're both participating in swine, but then they do several indoor projects. The farm scenery is one of them. They even do studies on bugs, and so they collect various types of insects and bugs and create a poster and a board about it. It's a neat project for them.
Well, that sounds neat. Now, how much does mom get involved? Do you have to put your hands behind your back and let them do it? Or are you always trying to get in there and, no, do it this way, do it that way?
I try to be involved as little as possible.
I got you.
However, they need some help every now and again. And especially when you're talking about 200-plus pound pigs and moving and maneuvering those. So it does take a family, that's for sure, to participate. But that's one of the best things about it.
Right.
That's a way that I can spend time with the kids doing something that they love.
Well, let's talk about this year's 4-H fair. And for folks that are maybe new to Daviess County, there are actually two fairs in Daviess County. There are a few counties that are like ours where we have basically a fair and then a 4-H fair.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of tell me, maybe you know, maybe you don't, kind of the history of how that came to be and why it is that way now.
So there are two county fairs. The best thing I can tell you is that it's always been that way, as long as I've known it to be
too,
that way.
Me too.
Two fairs. So there's a county fair and there's a 4-H fair. And the county fair is in Elnora. And as most people know that fair to be, you can see the Queen Contest,
right.
You can do rides there. But the county fair is actually an open show, meaning anyone from any county can enter in projects or animal projects into that. So you do not have to be a Daviess County participant
I
to
did
be
not
there.
Know that.
So it's available to anyone, anywhere. And then the local Daviess County 4-H Fair is what's held here just in Washington, there at the top of Eastside Park. And that is specifically for Daviess County youth. and those that participate in Davies County 4-H. There's no rides. There's no entry fee into it. It's specifically about the projects the kids are taking.
I got you. Very good. Well, you guys have embarked on what I consider a huge project out there on top of the hill. First, tell us about the facilities that are currently there. When were they put there? How did they get there? Why does it decide to be on top of the big hill out there? Kind of give me some history of the lay of the land as it is right now.
So the facilities that are there, well over 50 years old. Talking to Tom Boyd, he was talking about being a young youth and helping his parents and grandparents build what is known as the concession stand, that little food court building up there when he was a young youth, about 10 years old in 4-H. So they've been there a long time, mm-hmm. and they're the original facilities. And we've had a lot of great volunteers over the years that have stepped up to fill a need to repair specific facilities, add electrical, update fans and lighting structures, but we've never embarked upon a full structure review and remodel of the facility. And so that's what we're trying to do now. We have a growing program. I think that's a misconception that 4-H may be a thing of the past, or that many kids aren't participating in those. They're playing video games, yeah. and sitting at home. And that is absolutely not true. So we have over 430 youth in the program, wow. and that has grown by 10% in the last few years. And we have over 12 clubs in and around Davies County, but they're separated some by geographical location where you can meet a club that's close to home for you, but then also by interest. So there's horse clubs and there's shooting sports clubs, dog clubs. So you can be involved in many different areas of 4-H, but our program is growing. And that's the need, both for some structural repairs because our facilities have aged, but also to allow for new growth and areas to expand those facilities.
Very good. We're talking this morning on Focus on the Community with Tara Brower. Tara is the funding chairperson of the Davies County 4-H Master Building Plan, and that's what we're going to get into. Tell me about, was it just somebody that spearheaded it that said, you know, we really probably ought to think about starting to look at some updates, or was it, kind of tell me the history of how this project came to life.
Sure. So there were a few people, and it's probably been a year, almost 2 years ago, that they came together to say, we really need some structural updates and want to make some renovations to our facilities. Very specifically, the cattle barn was one of the very first facilities they wanted to look at. And at the time, the group wanted to take a step back and say, we agree, the cattle barn needs some updates and some facility repairs, but we don't want to just do one project at a time. We want to look at the entire facility, because if we do one project, we may get to the second project on our list or the third project on our list when funding becomes available and say, we would have done that first project differently. So they wanted to take a step back and form what's called our building committee, which there's 7 or 8 different members on that, several engineers who volunteered their time to look at the facility as a whole. We have almost 8 acres up there at the
wow.
top of the park.
You wouldn't think that.
You wouldn't think that, absolutely. But we have almost 8 acres there that we own at the top of the park. And so they looked at the facility as a whole and said, we want to accomplish 3 different things. We want to increase safety at our facilities and accommodate a growing youth program. We want to increase square footage under roof and the best utilization of the entire property. So that includes moving some buildings, that includes some additions to buildings, and improving our parking lots so that our folks that come to watch our 4-H'ers and see their exhibits can easily access the grounds.
Well, tell us, if folks haven't been up there for a while, maybe they don't have anybody involved in 4-H or haven't been there for the auction on that Friday night or whatever, what is currently on the grounds right now?
So on the grounds right now, we have our 4-H arena. Then we also have Swine Barn, which attaches through a breezeway to the cattle barn. Located in between those two, we have some wash racks for the kids that are right. preparing their animals for their nightly show. And then just down the hill, we also have what we call the goat barn, but the chickens and the rabbits are both housed in that barn. We also have the exhibits building or the projects building. And you'll notice the Kiwanis building, formerly known as the Kiwanis building, mm-hmm. the city now owns that building. We're actually having to use that as of now for our many 4-H projects, because we've run out of room in the exhibitors building for all of our 4-H projects. So we utilize that building as well, and the city is gracious enough to let us use that. And then behind that exhibits building, we have our horse arena.
Okay.
And so there's a wide horse pen there with a tower for viewing and for the judges and so forth. And so we utilize that space as well.
Very good. So it's bigger than you think out there. You haven't been up there in a while. And if folks are familiar with what's up there now, kind of give me a mind's eye view of what will be different when all everything is completed.
So the first project has already started. So I'd encourage you, if you want to take a drive up there, to just see what it looks like. The first project has already started, and you can see it right away. But as you drive up around that horseshoe that we call the 4-H Way, our vision is that grassy area that oftentimes in weather like what we've been having, this really wet weather, becomes a mess to park in.
Yeah.
And that is prime parking for folks that are coming for the show and have animals. That'll be a paved parking lot, along with another paved parking lot over to the right of the exhibits building. Where the horse arena sits now, it will get pushed back to the back corner of the lot. We'll bring in a lot of fill dirt to make that level, but it'll get pushed back to the back corner of the lot. And where that horse arena is now will be a paved parking lot to allow folks that want to come and see the exhibits to give them access to the site without driving through the entire grounds. Then we move over to that exhibits building. It will get an addition that's approximately 80 foot long by 20 feet wide. That will allow us to house the mini projects in that facility, which we aren't currently able to do. They've been in that Kiwanis city building there. And then it will also allow us a separate meeting space for 4-H groups, directors meetings, community events even. That building is actually utilized for 17 community events other than 4-H each and every year. So it'll allow us a separate space so that we're not heating and cooling the larger building, that we would have a separate meeting room available there. So that will get an addition. The food court as it stands today, or that concession stand, it will be no longer. So that will move probably up to where it most likely belongs, which is attached to the arena.
Right.
So that when you're there watching the show and that you're there at the auction, that you have the food space as close to where the action is. So we're excited about that move. That's one of the very next projects. I mentioned that when you drive up there right now, you can see the very first project going on. That is the cattle barn, or what used to be known as the cattle barn. You walk through the swine barn across that breezeway, and you were in the cattle barn. It had a dirt floor, housed only cattle. That will now become what we call a mega multi-species barn. When you see it, you will know why we say mega, because this building is doubled in size from what it was before, and it will now house goats, sheep, and cattle all in one building, and has a concrete floor. We have some amazing community sponsors, Tom Boyd and Marsha, as well as Nate and Jan Wagler with JJ's Concrete and WW Poured Walls. Then we have Kenny Swartzentruber with DC Metal. And we have a lot of volunteers that have just stepped up and said, we will own that project. We will jumpstart this campaign, and we'll start on that right away. So it will be ready this year for 4-H.
Wow.
And even with the weather, they're still making great progress on it.
Well, fantastic. We're talking with Tara Brower this morning on Focus on the Community, talking about the 4-H Master Plan Overview. And, of course, all of these grand plans only run on funding.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of why we're here today. Tell me, how in the world are you raising enough money to be able to do all of these fantastic upgrades to that facility out there? I know it's got to be a multi-step, faceted, you know, way to make it happen, a little here and a little there, because you've got to have money coming in through the whole course of the project to make it happen. So so I know you're a money girl. Tell us how that works.
Well, even for me, this is a big number.
Okay.
And I say, let's just jump right to the big number. The big number
we need a drum roll or something?
The big number is right at $1 million.
Wow.
So we estimate the whole project to take $990,000. And that is a lot of money. But I tell you what, we live, if there's one thing I have learned in moving away from this community, coming back to this community, being involved in this program, we live in a very generous community who comes together for a cause. And although we're talking about buildings and structural repair, this is really an investment in that 4-H program and in the youth to ensure that that facility is there for years to come to give them the opportunities. So I'm so passionate about not just talking about the buildings themselves, but what these buildings allow those kids to accomplish in the future. So $990,000 is our number, and that is going to hopefully come over a multi-year phases and projects, because we can't get it all done in 1 year.
Right.
The full building and renovation projects are probably a 3 to 5 year plan. We're working around those community events and 4-H weeks, and we have open shows that take place throughout the year there. So we're giving businesses and individuals the opportunity to pledge a commitment up front, but potentially spread that pledge out over a multi-year process. The great news is, of that $990,000, we're a third of the way there today.
Wow.
And I barely started visiting corporations and individuals, but it's in thanks a lot to those that have already funded this first phase of the project. And then the rest is yet to come. The next focus of this project is going to be renovating. The swine building needs a level floor to extend from that cattle building, new wash racks, and a new food court. And so we believe that when you go to someone, a business or an individual with a very specific need and a specific project, that they come together to make that possible. The majority of our donations, I'm sure, will come from individuals and corporate donors. But we will seek every funding avenue possible.
If there's a penny on the sidewalk, Carol will pick it up and put it in the fund.
Absolutely, absolutely. Foundations, grants, going to organizations that have businesses in our community, but larger nationwide businesses that we have foundations and opportunities to write for. The other thing is our 4-H youth are going to participate. We believe very wholeheartedly in getting them involved. And the $250 donation or $25 donation is sometimes just as important as the $25,000 donation. So those youth are doing fundraisers. They're doing fish fries. They're doing carry out dinners after church on Sundays, selling merchandise. We're going to do a 4-H to table dinner in the fall where they can sell tickets to their friends and family members and have a hog roast. So they are getting involved right down to the 4-H level.
Well, that is fantastic. And that'll give them a little ownership in things up there. They can say, I help raise money for this, so I can feel like it's mine. And
well, I go back to that story I shared on Tom Boyd in helping build that concession stand when he was 10 years old. These 4-H'ers are going to have the opportunity to share with their kids or with their grandkids that they were part of something when it went through this major shift and change.
Very good. Is there going to be like a donor walk or a donor wall? Or I know a lot of places have bricks with names and things in it. Has anything been kicked around on that side of things?
Absolutely. So we are able to, if someone sponsors an entire barn or an entire building, they are able to have their name, business name, or family name as a donor on that building. But we're also going to have just a community donor wall in the arena where we give public recognition to anyone and everyone that participated in this project. And so that'll be a community space where we can highlight names of businesses and individuals.
You can go up and find your segment or brick or whatever it happens to be that says your family name or what it, you dates and all kinds of stuff.
So, absolutely.
Very cool. Well, Tara, we're just about to run out of time, but I don't want to get away before you let me, or you tell me if folks are listening, they want to be involved, they want to donate, they want to get involved, they want to do something. What's step number one? What do they need to do?
Step number one is we have a website. You can go to find us at DaviesCountyIN4H.com. You can actually see the master plan on that website. You can see a PowerPoint presentation of everything that's going to take place over the next 3 to 5 years. And you have the option to give on that website as well through PayPal. So you can give through PayPal online, or you can contact the extension office here locally to fill out a pledge card and to give that way if you'd rather give by check or cash donation. You can contact us through email, whether it's through that website or our Gmail account at DaviesCountyIN4H@gmail.com, and we'll be happy to come visit with your place of business, your board of directors, your family, on how you can leave a legacy gift. We call it a generational gift to Davies County 4-H, because this opportunity really only comes along once in a generation. If we don't anticipate another major project like this for another 50 years.
Yeah.
And so we want to give everyone the opportunity to be a part of it.
Very good. Very good. Well, that sounds very neat. Gosh, it's such a big project. I'm sure it takes a lot of folks like yourself that with a focus to make it all happen. So
we're thankful that we have a wonderful board of directors. We have a building committee and a funding committee, and they're all volunteers. Many of these are past 4-H members, but they are passionate about what they do. And most importantly, we're passionate about the youth and the future of the program.
And I imagine when we get into the actual 4-H Fair Week, there'll be some folks out there that if folks are just happen to be out for the auction or be out for a show, that they can say, you know, I've been out here and I've seen what's going on. I want to be involved. I'm sure that they can talk to somebody out there that week as well.
Absolutely. We'll have plenty of opportunities on ground that we're educating folks on what the projects are to be take place, the very next project, and what our next funding need is. So if you want to give, we've got a place for you to give.
Very good. Tara, any last words before we let you go about your day today?
I would just say that definitely all donations to the 4-H program are tax deductible for individuals and for businesses. And we hope that you see such a growing program in our community and such a need. This 4-H program teaches kids responsibility. It teaches them leadership, all in a positive youth development approach. We have so many volunteers that give of their time to just instill those values in these kids, and we just hope to continue that for generations to come.
Very good. Well, we appreciate your time this morning, and keep us updated on how things are going, and if there's any other thing that we can put on the air, you just let us know. We'll make sure it gets there.
I would like to say one thing on sure. The 4-H dates. If someone wants to come and attend our 4-H activities out at the fairgrounds, our weeks are July 9th through the 19th, with the specific animal 4-H fair happening the 15th through the 19th. So we'd welcome anyone to come check out the kids' projects in the building, check out their projects in the barns, and see what's going on.
I know our big push is always we put your 4-H auction on the air. We always get a lot of positive response of grandma and grandpa and uncles and aunts that can't make it to the auction that love to hear. And Jay does such a great job. He knows everybody that there is to know. And if he doesn't know you specifically, he knows somebody that knows you. So.
He's entertaining, and he's done his homework, and he's been such a big part of that auction for many, many years. We're just very thankful to the folks that do that on behalf of those kids.
Very good. Well, Tara Brower, thank you very much for your time this morning on Focus on the Community, and we look forward to hearing more about the 4-H Master Plan Overview. Focus on the Community has been sponsored this morning by First Federal Bank in Washington. You can listen to a rebroadcast of today's show over on the General 4-Star Country at 8:30 tomorrow morning. You can also listen to or download a copy of today's program by visiting WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Andy Morrison, inviting you to tune in every weekend to WAMW as we focus on the community.